Welcome. Thanks for tuning in.
Tada! Today we are going to talk about 7 ways to get CX into the DNA of your organization.
Yes.
Not 6.
No.
Not 8.
No.
7.
Exactly. 3, 5, or 7.
All right. But before we start, a personal question to
yes.
get to know you a little bit better.
Yes.
Best B-Day gift you received this year?
Okay. That's some inside knowledge that Miranda has. Because this year I turned 45. And normally I don't really care about birthdays. But I thought, okay, 45, that's kind of a milestone. So I thought it would be really cool to just have my 3 closest friends and the husband together for the weekend. Because 2 out of 3, they don't live in the Netherlands. So some of them also hadn't met. So in April, my birthday is on April 5th, we had an amazing weekend together in Rotterdam.
Nice.
And yes, it was definitely a top 3, top 5 live event. Not a top 7.
Cool. All right. So let's dive into CX in the DNA of the organization. Why is this an important topic?
Because most CX initiatives start as a program. Although now you have more and more CX teams, right? So it's becoming more and more part of the organization itself. But let's say the first 1 or 2 years you're really building through a program approach. You want to get CX that people know about it, that they understand what it is, and to get the first things going. But then, right? So normally year one, everybody's super excited.
Yeah.
It's really easy to get a lot of energy going. From year 1 to 2, it's already a little more challenging because then you're already trying to put it more into, you know, connected to existing departments, for example. But in the end, if you want to get in the DNA, which is, of course, a term that's used a lot. For me, getting in DNA means that it's no longer a separate topic. CX, the customer, is part of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the risk is that, so what I used to do is started a CX program and I didn't really think a lot about getting it in the DNA maybe until that end of year one. And for me, one of the things I learned is that I think it's really valuable to already start thinking about getting in the DNA as soon as possible, not already start talking about, oh, we need to change KPIs and we need to have leadership because then your whole transformation program stops right away. But think about it. And then because when you're actively thinking about it, you will know sooner, okay, but this is the perfect timing now in this conversation to say, hey, maybe we should do something with, I don't know, Tiny Habits for Leaders. So think about it soon, but don't start too soon talking about too abstract topics that nobody really understands because they don't understand the essence of CX yet.
Right? Yeah.
They first need to, what are customer journeys? How do we figure out drivers? You know, that's sort of the basics that you need to start first.
Yeah. All right. So getting into this 7 ways.
Yes. Before we go into the 7 ways, there's one perspective that sort of, I don't know, precedes that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I like to talk about having CX separated when you're getting it in DNA and having CX integrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I will try to give examples for both perspectives for each of the 7 ways that we're going to mention. But the key is that for me, if we want to get it in DNA, it should not be a separate topic, right?
Yeah.
It should be part of everything else. And what you often see is that CX teams are sort of excited and they say, hey, check in the box. For example, it's part of the training because 1 hour out of the 5 days is all about CX.
Yeah.
That to me is separated, but I'll explain a little more in detail.
All right. And just to understand it correctly, you want the integrated approach, not the separated.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
So that people understand the difference, I try for each of the 7 ways to give examples of what's separated and what's integrated.
All right. Check. Number one,
yeah, I thought recruitment might be a good place to start because, of course, in the end, when you want to have more CX, you want to make sure that you recruit people that have, let's say, more CX in their DNA.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, this example also is more, okay, so what does my recruitment journey look like?
Yeah.
So not so much am I selecting the right people, which I think is kind of a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
But when I have, I don't know, 3, 4, or 5 different interviews, is there any talk about the customer? Is there any talk about the impact this organization is making on the customer? So is the customer even a topic in the sessions?
Yeah.
And for me here also the difference between separated and integrated is, for example, separated means, I don't know, somewhere between, I don't know, interview 2 and 3, I get an email with a video with a short, you know, explanation of what have we been doing to impact customers.
Yeah.
Integrated for me would mean that on a very, let's say, organic way, in each interview I have, the person that is interviewing me is sharing what their impact is on the customer or why they are proud because they made impact XYZ with the organization.
Yeah.
And so that it's a natural topic in each conversation, that to me would be integrated.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Oh yeah, I'm now looking to the right to our notes.
any tips?
Very good, Miranda. Yes, one tip. Because of course you can also start thinking our function profiles.
Mm-hmm.
How much of the function profile is also containing something? What does my role as a contact center agent mean for the customer? For that role, it's more obvious. But also, what does my role as, I don't know, the finance manager mean for the customer? And connect to performance management. So if customer centricity is not part of my monthly, quarterly performance review, then of course the risk is that it's also not top of mind. But the tip would be, we just recorded a podcast with Sam Stern from, he used to be Forrester, now LinkedIn. And he has very concrete examples of how you can do this. So that's just a listening tip for after you finish this one.
Very well. Okay, so that's number one, recruitment.
Yes.
Let's go to number two.
Number two is all about training. And I like to use the onboarding training, but the example I mentioned goes to all trainings. But onboarding is an easy example because for onboarding, for me, separated means, okay, we have 3 days of onboarding. And 1 hour in those 3 days onboarding is about somebody from the X team telling about insights, drivers. So you have 1 hour dedicated on CX as part of my onboarding. That to me is separated. And of course, that's better than not having it. But the ideal is integrated, and integrated would mean that you start redesigning your full onboarding training to really make sure that, I don't know, I have role plays from the customer. Or I ask them, hey, you know, this is a challenge that customers are facing. Here, have a case, you know, try to figure out how we can solve it. I don't know, the CEO drops by to share, you know, what was the most, the case that he was most proud of when they helped customers. So you start redesigning your onboarding to check, okay, what percentage of the current onboarding is, for example, all about explaining how we do things. If the onboarding is fully about this is how work procedures are, etc., maybe you can flip that around and, I don't know, start thinking about journeys of customers. So for me, separated is, yes, we have the topic as part of our onboarding.
Yeah.
Integrated is, hey, let's redesign the onboarding really completely from the customer perspective. And then what would the onboarding look like?
Yeah, nice. And that way you also really link to the purpose of the new employees, right? Because they are probably there to do something good for the customer.
Exactly. Yeah. What we tend to see in when we do those scientific driver research is that the number one driver of the customer, it's almost always, let's say, the human element, like personal attention or treat me as a human, not as a number. That's almost always connected to need the sense of purpose of the employee.
Yeah.
Because of course you have sales, you have production, and we sort of, you know, drifted away a little from the purpose of, hey, but I'm here to help the customer. So the employees are really excited to finally feel, hey, but now I get to spend more time on the thing that really matters the most.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. All right. And I was thinking we also have a really nice example for the onboarding on the employee side, but it's in the employee podcast, right? Employee experience podcast. So that's a tip as well.
Yeah, and indeed. So what popped in my head as well is that podcast, but also I think one of the first podcasts in the series is with Dan Cable.
Ah, yeah.
And for redesigning your onboarding, his book, Alive at Work, and things like The Best Self Exercise, definitely a must read/listen.
Okay. So, number one, recruitment. Number two, training. Number three.
Number three is all about communication. And of course, communication is a super broad topic, mm-hmm. but I mean internal communication. Let's say your CEO has a, I don't know, quarterly video, or there's a monthly newsletter of how the organization is doing. Again, separated would mean I have an additional CX newsletter as part of the communication, or I have a CX page on the intranet.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if intranet is still very, in 2023, very relevant topic. Integrated for me would mean, okay, in each type of the communication, so if the CEO does a video each quarter, at least he or she integrates a customer story or something that impacted customers. Or when there's a monthly, hey, how's the organization doing? It's not all about, hallelujah, we did so many sales. No, we also had this, you know, experience for customers. And it can also be something where we learned, hey, you know, maybe this wasn't the best experience. So also find a balance in sharing examples that maybe didn't work to create this culture of, okay, it's okay to learn right, from things. And then what did we learn from this?
Yeah.
So checking all the types of communications to see, okay, where can we integrate the customer within the existing communication instead of creating a separate line of communication on CX.
Yeah. All right. Nice.
Number four. So number four is all about the meetings. So as we go through this list, you see that it's all about not creating separate things.
Yeah.
Right? It's making sure that, okay, let's check the landscape. What do we already have? And where can we create hooks to have the customer or insights from the customer?
Yeah.
And that's the same for me for meetings. So separate would mean we have, there was an organization, for example, that had once a quarter a CX meeting with the board, for example.
Yeah.
Which again, better than not having any meetings on CX. But integrated would mean, okay, let's see, the board gets together once a month. Let's make sure the first 5 minutes start talking about customer experience,
mm-hmm.
Talking about, again, a case, talking about a driver that we discovered and how can we enhance that. Make a list of all the existing meetings. You have bi-weeklies, you have monthlies with your team, with the management layers. So just make a sort of a list. And then not just say, so one of the things that we learned, so we thought if we just mention, hey, the first 5 minutes, do something around talking about a customer. Because we felt that's super concrete. Well, people then still wonder, okay, but what can we do in those 5 minutes? Okay. And so we also created sort of this list of ideas that you can do. For example, you can ask one of your team members, hey, what was the moment last week that you felt most proud in relation to helping a customer? And it can also be internal, right? So if you have a team that's more on the back office side and you have your own colleagues that are your customers, you can also share examples there, right? So yeah. It's not only the customer-facing departments.
Yeah. And it's also nice that it's integrated, so it won't take any extra time, right? Everybody's super busy and I need an extra hour for a CX meeting, or it's just in my regular meetings and we talk about CX.
Exactly. And that's why we also say 5 minutes. It can also be 2 minutes, because the goal, again, linking to, let's say, the tiny habit theory,
mm-hmm.
is it's better to do it 30 seconds every time and then it becomes part of the rhythm.
Yeah.
Then start with 10 minutes and everyone think, oh, okay, but 10 minutes, our agenda is already so full. We're not going to do this, right?
Yeah.
So start small and make it a routine and then start extending it if necessary.
Yeah. Nice. So that was number four.
See.
Number five.
Number five is connected to leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to, I think the podcast after this one
mm-hmm.
will be specifically about leadership. But here again, the difference is that I can run, in a separated perspective, I can run workshops with leaderships on CX. What did we find in the drivers? How can you and your team make sure you keep focus on CX? The integrated part would be where you say, okay, we flip it around, so we're not doing something extra. We're going to see, okay, dear leader, whether it's a team leader, manager, director, doesn't matter. What does your sort of week rhythm look like? What are existing meetings? What are routines you already have? And then help them facilitate with tiny habits for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what can you concretely do to make this part of your routine? for example, I don't know, whenever I start my computer, I think of one colleague from my team that I'm going to give a call and ask, hey, you know, is there anything I can do to help you create better experiences? I'm just making it up, right? But yeah. You can easily make this menu and it has two advantages. One, it makes it super tangible for them because I have yet to meet the leader that says, customer centricity, nah, don't really want to participate in that. I think the ones that I have met in the last 20 years, maximum one hand, so maximum five people that said, yeah, I don't know about this CX thing. Most people say, yes, of course I want to help, but please help me. What can I do?
Yeah.
So make it super concrete and place yourself in their context. Right? Yeah. So check with them. Okay, what does your week look like? What does your daily rhythm look like? Hey, these are meetings maybe where you can integrate it. This is how you could integrate it. So make it really, really tangible to them.
And the tiny habits are all related to how can I support my team to give this excellent customer experience, right?
Yeah, if you're, let's say, team leader and above, but also, for example, hey, I want to lead by example and I'm going to, I don't know, call a customer that had a complaint, or I'm going to listen to the audios from the call center, right? So you can also do things yourself to get it also more in your own DNA, because then it's more easy to lead by example for your team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Number six. Almost there.
Almost there. Yeah. So the... from leadership, it's an easy, let's say, jump towards steering and KPIs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I said in the beginning, don't start talking about topics that need to be in the DNA too soon. Because as soon as you start your program by saying we need to have different KPIs, it becomes a bit of a challenging road ahead. So for me, again, the difference between, let's say, separated would be, okay, we have a separate CX dashboard. I don't know, it contains NPS, the drivers, trend, info, insights. Integrated would mean, no, we have a, I don't know, a balanced scorecard, or we have something that we are using to steer the whole organization.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of that dashboard is something related to CX. So for me, I'm often surprised where I see that it's so, it really is so separated, where I say, okay, but for example, the churn percentage, so the number of customers leaving, or, I don't know, repeat purchases, that's so directly linked to CX, but almost nobody's tracking that. Or if they are tracking it, they're not tracking it in connection to CX.
Yeah.
So for me, the whole KPI slash what goals should we define, should be a very good balance of external metrics, like satisfaction, like NPS. Although we have some comment on the NPS, see previous podcasts. but external metrics, but also internal metrics. And I think too often they are separated. While, for example, let's say if I'm ordering something online, then an internal metric is the time it takes to from ordering to delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's seen as a sort of an operational efficiency thing. But of course, if that delivery takes, I don't know, 10, 15 days, then it's definitely also a customer thing.
Yeah.
So I think having your, in this case, the total time for delivery as part of your dashboard is definitely also influencing a better customer experience.
Yeah.
One side note about KPIs is that there's also been a lot of research where KPIs, and especially like benefits, if you connect it to that, financial incentives, can have a very opposite impact. Either the incentives are steering in the wrong direction, or people are just going to sort of hack them.
Yeah.
What you see a lot, for example, in the automotive sector is, okay, so they have a target on NPS, and then they're pretty seriously saying to the customer, hey, could you please rate us a 9 or 10 because my bonus depends on it. Not sure.
Real estate does this as well.
Yeah.
I hope you give me a 10.
Yeah. No pressure. Yeah. So if you're honestly willing to learn from customers and not window dressing your KPIs, then I think I was last week thinking, for example, you know, in a relationship or I don't know, you don't have internal KPIs whether or not I'm willing to help you as my colleague when you ask me something. Right? I don't need a KPI to make sure that I help you. or I don't have a KPI on being honest. So for me, ideally, we don't create KPIs, but we make this whole customer focus such a normal part of our way of working that you don't even need to talk about KPIs.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I think the DNA mission is check in the box.
All right. That's for steering and KPIs, right?
Yes.
Last one.
Last one, number 7.
I really like this.
Exactly. Of course, we're going to end on a high. If you've been a more regular listener to this podcast, you know that playfulness, energy, and fun, not just for us, right? It's based on science, on behavioral science. But it's such a crucial but underestimated element when creating not only your program approach, mm-hmm. but also afterwards, right? So maybe some programs think, okay, in the beginning it should be fun, but then sort of, you know, the fun dies down. Make sure that you actively design your approach also after 1 or 2 years to stay creative, to make it fun, I don't know, to make some sort of game, use quizzes, give awards, I don't know, record short videos of an employee that was super excited because they helped customer X, make a short video of asking a customer for some feedback. With a lot of very small things, you can create a lot of energy. Yeah. And I think you should make sure that energy layer of the design doesn't stop after 1 or 2 years. But yeah. that becomes part of your DNA on how to do effectively change.
Yeah, nice.
I think so.
That's it?
I think that's it.
Anything forgotten?
Yeah, I think the sort of the easy summary is, in the end, everything that you as a leader, as a person, give attention, that grows, so to speak. Yeah. So if everyone is constantly telling the employees, how is your, I don't know, average handle time? How are your sales targets? How is your production, whatever? Then I think you don't need to be very surprised that in the end, nobody's really doing something with the customer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as long as you're aware of that and just checking yourself, I don't know, at the end of the day, at the end of the week, hey, how much time am I, myself, making sure that my team is focusing on the customer? And I think as long as you are reflecting on that on a regular basis, then it should be easy peasy.
Cool. All right. That's it.
I think that's it. But thanks so much for listening. We hope that, again, you had some very valuable insights on how you can be successful in running CX transformations. And next podcast will be all about leadership specifically. And I think the cliffhanger is that a lot of people think the role of leadership can never be too big. We are saying make the role of leadership very tiny.
Ooh.
Hint, hint.
Nice cliffhanger.
Until next time.
Ciao.